You speak responsively the psalm for the evening from Psalm 116. What shall I render to the Lord? I will lift up the cup of salvation. I will pay my vows to the Lord. Precious in the sight of the Lord. O Lord, I am your servant. I will offer you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I will pay my vows to the Lord. In the courts of the house of the Lord. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 13th chapter. Glory be to thee, O Lord. Now before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, to wipe them with the towel of the that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, I now say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's Maundy Thursday, also known as Holy Thursday. And we could look at several different themes on this Thursday. For example, the institution of the Lord's Supper. It was on that Thursday that Jesus gathered his disciples in the upper room and they celebrated the Passover. And during the Passover, Jesus kind of changed everything by instituting the Lord's Supper. So we could look at the Lord's Supper. We could look at Jesus' command, love one another. That's actually the Maundy in Maundy Thursday. Maundy comes from a Latin word meaning mandate or command. Jesus says, love one another. We could look at the theme of Gethsemane. We're going to sing Go to Dark Gethsemane at the end of the service. But after the Passover celebration, they would sing a hymn and Jesus would lead his disciples out to the Garden of Gethsemane where Jesus would pray that the cup of God's wrath might pass from him. Then he says, "Not my will, but yours be done." And then after coming out of the garden, the centurions are there to arrest Jesus after Judas betrayed him. So we can look at a number of different themes, but on this evening we're going to consider love one another. And how? Jesus says, "Love one another as I have loved you." Well, how did Jesus love the disciples? We might start with how he selected them. He didn't go through an elaborate interview process. He didn't require any training beforehand. They didn't have to hand in resumes or anything like that. He simply called to the disciples and said, "Follow me," And they did. And while they followed him, Jesus taught them. He didn't presume that they had any knowledge at all. He just spent time with them, teaching them about the kingdom of God, about salvation, about the forgiveness of sins. And at one point during his ministry, Jesus sent the disciples out, you know, two by two out into the towns and villages of Israel to bring that gospel message. It was kind of an internship, you might say, because they would see what it was like to take the word of God, to take this message of Jesus out into the towns of Israel. Because remember, this would become their occupation, so to speak, after Pentecost. But really, these guys were raw cadets, you might say. Still, Jesus patiently worked with them. That takes a lot of love. And they weren't always the most teachable bunch. There were times when they just misunderstood what Jesus was all about. There were other times when they tried to keep Jesus from carrying out his ministry, like when he predicted that he was going to go to Jerusalem and die, and the disciples said, "Oh, no, we don't want that to happen." Other times, the disciples were just simply dunderheads. But Jesus continued to teach them, he continued to love them, and as they gathered for the Passover meal, he showed his love. They were there in the upper room, they were celebrating the Passover, and then he kind of one-upped himself when he wrapped a towel around his waist and began washing the feet of the disciples one by one. Now you have to understand that the washing of feet was a very menial task. It was not someone for the master, or it wasn't a task for the master or the leader, but here was Jesus stooping down, washing the disciples' feet, and setting this incredible example. Then he tells them to go and do the same. "But as I have loved you," is a rather high standard. And if we take a closer look, the task becomes even more difficult. Well, here's how one person put it. He said, "The more we recognize the depth of our own sin, the more we recognize the love of the Savior. The more we appreciate the love of the Savior, the higher the standard appears. The higher his standard appears, the more we recognize our own selfishness, our innate self-centeredness, and the depth of our own sin. With a standard like this, no thoughtful believer can ever say, at least this side of the second coming, 'I am perfectly keeping the basic stipulation of the new covenant.' We simply can't achieve this standard. We will always fall short. But we shouldn't be fatalistic about it. There are lots of things that we're not perfect at. But we don't throw in the towel. We don't just give up. We keep plugging away, trying to do better. So we can aspire to what Jesus says. And we have his example. From Jesus, we know what this love looks like. But even the love of Jesus can be a bit complex. What does loving one another look like? And now we can kind of get ridiculous about it, and loving one another is just giving in to each other and then nothing ever gets done. So that doesn't seem right. But Jesus did defer when necessary. Remember the Syrophoenician woman, her daughter was demon-possessed, and she came seeking out Jesus. She begged Jesus for help, and at first Jesus just denied her. He says, "Well, I was sent to the lost sheep of Israel, and this woman's a Gentile." But she continued to plead with him. And in doing so, she demonstrated great faith. Jesus finally deferred to her. He helped this Gentile woman and healed her daughter. There were times when he was assertive. He was one evening dining with a prominent Pharisee. And during the meal, this woman comes in and anoints Jesus' feet with oil. Now, the Pharisee was indignant. He said something to Jesus. If you knew what kind of woman this was, you wouldn't be letting her touch you. But Jesus stood up to the Pharisee. He says, you know, I noticed that you didn't greet me with a kiss when I arrived. And you didn't anoint my head with oil or arrange for my feet to be washed. Jesus put this Pharisee in his place and then forgave the woman. She showed great faith, demonstrating it by the love of anointing Jesus' feet. And there were times when Jesus could sound rather harsh. Consider the disciples in the boat in the storm, and he looks at them and he says, oh, you of little faith! He pronounced woe on unrepentant cities. He said, an evil and adulterous generation looks for a sign. You might remember he said to Peter on one occasion, get behind me, Satan! The people brought children out to Jesus, and the disciples rebuked the people for bringing these children. And then Jesus turns around and rebukes the disciples and says, let the little children come to me. He cleansed the temple of the money changers, even cursed a fig tree one time. Now by themselves, without any context, these actions may not sound all that loving. They might even sound a little brutal. But why was Jesus so harsh? He was leading people to repentance, that they might see the kingdom of God and have salvation. So all these things were done by Jesus in love, which makes love a bit of a complex picture. At times it is tender and kind, at other times it can be tough. And love means understanding your own position and carrying out your responsibilities and knowing when to lower yourself to help others, to take one for the team, you might say, to serve rather than being served. Jesus lowered himself to the ultimate place by going to the cross and dying for the benefit of others. Others who had no hope otherwise, others who could not save themselves, and we are among those others. Never was love like this, and never has it been since. It is love unknown. But now he asks his followers to go forth and do the same, to love others as he has loved us. Will we be perfect? No. But when we fall, he bids us to come to him in repentance, confessing our sins. I mean, that's why he gives us the Lord's Supper, his body and blood shed for us for the forgiveness of sins, so that when you come forward this evening, your failed attempts at love are forgiven. Your out-and-out lack of love is forgiven. And you are strengthened to go out and try again, to serve others, to love Jesus, to love others as Jesus has loved you. So God bless you as you share Christ's love, that others might know that you are his and that they would know his love also. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds on Christ Jesus. Amen.